Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is the week after Christmas, and that means all kinds of shopping steals and deals for thrifty consumers. But that's just part of our discussion tonight as we talk about protecting your purse strings. NBC4 consumer reporter Susan Hogan is back for our end of the year discussion with a lot of things you need to know. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Harold, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And I wanted to let our listeners know that our lines are open if you have a comment or a question for Susan at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Susan, I hope you had a great holiday.
Harold, I had such a great holiday. It was very quiet, just my family, the way it should have been.
Exactly.
And, you know, we do miss so many of our extended family, but you know what? We had to do what was right. Because you know what? My feeling is we made it this far. Let's just keep it going. And then hopefully next year we can have our own big old celebration. And I hope you had a great one with your family, too.
It was quiet, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I don't think it could have been any more quiet than it was.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But that's definitely a good thing. But I do want to talk about some of this, you know, kind of late-breaking noise that we're hearing,
yeah.
You know, obviously from Capitol Hill. President Trump signed that COVID relief package overnight, $600. But of course, the House just an hour ago passed this $2,000 direct payment measure. We don't know what's going to happen with the Senate, but what can you tell us about how the payments would go out? How is this going to affect John and Jane public?
Yeah, and it's such a good question. And you know what? I was pitching this story this morning because we were talking about that. I'm like, you know what? It's like you've got all of the politicians, you know, out there on Capitol Hill doing all of this negotiating. In the meantime, it's the people, the real people like you and me, kind of stuck in the middle of all of this, right? We're like, our lives are being bartered up on Capitol Hill. And it's like, come on. And you know, yes, the House did just pass a few hours ago to raise the stimulus check to $2,000. The likelihood of that passing in the Senate right now, from all indications, is nil to none. So, you know, let's talk, as you said, about, okay, so let's just assume then it's going to be the $600. So who's eligible? And that's always the biggest thing, right? So, you know, with the adult benefit, which unfortunately is half the size of the first stimulus check that actually came out. But this is earmarked for qualifying dependents who also raised, that was raised by $100. So that's a good thing. So, all right, let's get down to the brass tacks. Those who qualify for the maximum stimulus payment includes individuals who earn up to $75,000 in adjusted gross income or $112,500 as head of household and $150,000 as a married couple filing jointly. You will qualify for $600. Here's where a little bit of good news comes in if you have kids. For each child you have, a dependent child, you will get an additional $600. Now, individuals with $87,000 in income, married couples who file jointly earning $174,000, unfortunately, they're not going to receive any payment. So fewer people are actually going to be qualifying for payments, which is kind of a bummer for sure. And I think the next big question is, okay, so when am I going to get it? And the best thing I can tell folks is the first in line are going to be likely people who already have their direct payment information on file with the IRS. So if you have, you know, filed for a tax return and you've given written on your tax return your direct deposit information, you are more likely to get this payment earlier rather than later. If you have not and you have not shared your bank information, you can expect to receive a paper check or a prepaid debit card. And you know, Harold, with the government, anything that's paper or that has to be printed out, that's going to take a little bit longer.
It really will. And that's unfortunate, particularly when we are considering the time of year that we are in. Certainly there have been some reports that some of those first $600 payments are supposed to go out later this week. But as we said in the beginning of this conversation, we just don't know what impact this $2,000 House vote will have and whether or not the Senate will even take up the issue. So there's still a lot of moving parts here. So we're going to have to kind of keep an eye on that. But with that said, one of the things that, you know, from your wheelhouse that people really need to be concerned about are the scams, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of this national economic strife that some people are going through. You know, the bad guys are still out there, Susan.
They are out there, and they're taking full advantage of our, you know, instability, our uncertainty. And here's a few things for your listeners to really understand, because whenever we're getting more money from the government, when it's tax return time, when it's stimulus check time, scammers are like, they are chomping at the bit and they are ready to go. So a couple of things that I really, really want to make sure that your listeners understand, that the government, whether it's the IRS or the Department of Treasury or whomever it may be, they're never going to ask you to pay anything up front to get this money, ever. Anyone who does ask you, they're a scammer. The government also is not going to call you. They're not going to text or email you or contact you via social media and ask you for your Social Security, your bank account information, or your credit card number. Again, anyone who does that, they're a scammer. And there's also, this is one thing that people will always call and ask me. They're like, well, you know, there's someone that was saying that I can get my money earlier, I can get it faster. You know, anyone who says that they could hook you up now or soon, they're lying to you. There is no such thing. And the thing, too, is while we're talking about scams, Harold, is the COVID scams in terms of, you know, the COVID vaccine scams, the COVID test home test kit scams. You know, I mean, this is where you as a consumer really has to pay close attention, due diligence, and really use common sense and say, really, is this possible? Is this true? And if you even have to question yourself, then you know what? It's not. Move away and move on from it.
So let's talk about that just a little bit, because just yesterday I was talking to my mother. And she said that she received a phone call from someone saying that she did not have to wait until April to get her COVID vaccine shot. It's available now. We can get it to you this week. And of course, you know, following, you know, the advice of her wonderful son, yours truly, she hung up. But not everyone has that kind of information or knows to shut it down when they hear something like this, because there are people who are really chomping at the bit to get the vaccine.
Of course they are. And I, who can blame them? I have an 84-year-old mother who wants to see us so badly, but, you know, and would, you know, if a phone call like that came in, hopefully she'd call me and say, is this for real? And I would say, no, it's not. I did a story a couple of weeks ago, right before Christmas, about these COVID vaccine scams, and that, you know, they're only right now being administered by health professionals. They're not, no one is going to, there is no such thing as I can, if you pay me a certain amount of money, I can get you in the line, I can get you first in line. That does not exist anywhere, nowhere. So all I can really say is if any phone call comes through that tells you that you can be first in line for this vaccine is absolutely a scam. You need to hang up and move on. You know, and sometimes the first line of defense really is to look at your phone as it's ringing. And if you do not recognize the phone number, don't answer it. Trust me, my feeling is if you really are someone who needs to get in touch with me, you're going to find me. You'll text me or something to say, hey, I'm calling you on, you know, a 401 area code. You know, pick it up next time I ring the phone. Yes. Otherwise, do not pick up the phone. The moment you pick up that phone, you are a hook, line, and sinker. even if you don't fall for that scam, the fact that you picked up the phone shows that you are a live person, a real phone number. And if it's not that scammer going to call you, it's going to be someone else.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to NBC4 consumer reporter Susan Hogan, not just about the best deals and deals after Christmas, but also some of the things you really need to concern yourself with in the midst of this pandemic. A lot of moving parts on Capitol Hill, and there's some things that you need to be aware of. There's some bad actors out there, some scammers. So if you have a comment or a question for Susan Hogan with NBC4, you can certainly give us a call. Speaking of which, Susan, I want to go back to Capitol Hill and talk about this COVID-19 stimulus package that the president signed last night, because the other thing is everybody's thinking about these direct payments, but there's also something in the package for small businesses.
There is the PPP loans. So that was my story this evening. So a few things that you need to know about this. So about $285 billion in loans to small businesses is going to be part of the next round of the Paycheck Protection Program. And so we have been following since May, Harold. We've been following a number of different businesses, a coffee roaster, a gym owner, and also an event photography business, kind of on their plight. From, you know, applying for these loans, getting these loans, and how are they doing? So we actually aired tonight how one of those businesses is doing. And although he got $54,000 in the first round of the PPP, it wasn't enough. He is going to have to apply for the next round of the PPP loans. Now, this time around, it's a little different. It's still pretty decent, but there's going to be a little bit, it's going to be a little stricter, if I could say that. So the couple of the good things here. So the loan's going to be forgivable. So if you, no matter how much you borrow, it's going to be forgivable as long as all of the requirements are met. The new loans are going to be capped this time at $2 million. Remember now, Harold, they were capped at $10 million, and you know where that got us, right?
Right, exactly.
Remember all those massive franchises that were getting these PPP loans, because they could do that, because they were looking at them as individual businesses. Also, all of the applicants, they can't have any more than 300 employees instead of 500, which makes a big difference. And they also have to show at least a 25% drop in revenue during the first, second, or third quarter in 2020. And this has got to be compared to the same period in 2019. And the one really good thing that this does clarify, that this new the new act clarifies, which the old one did not when it came to PPP, was the forgiveness. Will that be taxable? And they make that very clear in this new round that any forgiveness of a PPP loan is not taxable. That's huge.
That is, because if you're still having some problems with your business and you file your business taxes during the next tax cycle, that I can't imagine how helpful that could be, because owing when you're not bringing anything in, it's got to be really, really rough. Are we still talking about kind of the same timeline as we are with these $600 checks? It's just going to roll out whenever it rolls out?
So we don't know that yet. So we asked the Small Business Administration, who administers these, right? We asked them if they have a time frame. When can businesses start applying for these? And they said to me, quote, the FDA, in consultation with the Department of Treasury, is working expeditiously to identify changes to program rules, forms, and processes as laid out in the legislative text, blah, 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 blah. Bottom line, Harold, they don't know when. We heard rumblings sometime in March that they can start applying for these loans, but we really don't know, and they told us that they have no further comment at this time. You know, the thing is, they were plagued with so many issues during the first round. We reported on our three businesses. You know, if you were not doing any business with a lender, so say that your you might have a personal loan with Bank of America, but your business loan was with XYZ Bank. But Bank of America, as you know, was one of the first ones to really come out, and so was Wells Fargo. Well, Bank of America is like, well, you don't do a business loan with us, so therefore we're going to put your loan application for your PPP on the back burner. And that got squashed really quickly when they realized, oh, that's not good. You can't do that. You can't pick and choose. Other than Wells Fargo, which we had one of our businesses was the Cervantes Coffee Roasters in Springfield. They had Wells Fargo, and they were all ready. They got all of their ducks in a row, and they went to apply, and Wells Fargo's like, due to the higher volume of applicants, we can no longer take anything right now. It's like, what? So it started off really badly. And so the gentleman that we interviewed tonight, Jules Clifford, who owns this event photography business, he's like, I hope, if anything, that they learn from what that was like and that they fix those issues. So when they are set to go, we apply and we get approved and we get our money. And we'll see what happens.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to NBC4 consumer reporter Susan Hogan about your consumer issues, the end of the year consumer issues, also some of the issues that are really impacting just about each and every one of us, from COVID scams to federal government help in the midst of this pandemic. We're also going to talk after the break about some of the other things that you need to know when you're talking about returning Christmas gifts, gift cards, all kinds of consumer things that you need to be aware of, because this isn't your same old shopping that we've been so used to in years past. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. This discussion will continue in just a little bit. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion tonight about consumer issues you need to know, especially for the after Christmas shopper. My guest is NBC4 consumer reporter Susan Hogan. You have an opportunity to speak with Susan, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let me go to the phone lines. Antoinette calling from Waldorf, Maryland. Antoinette, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, Harold. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Antoinette, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. So I had a question. If they had something, I hope I'm correct, it was called the CARES Act for the TSP.
For the TSP, that's
for the Thrift Savings Plan. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So they opened that up because of the everything that's going on, and you were allowed to take out up to $100,000 or whatever the case may be. Is there a chance for the individuals who took advantage of that, because everything is still going on, what may be the chances of them opening that window again for the people who took advantage and the people who did not?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I'm looking it up right now. I don't see anything for it in this time around. I could be completely wrong. That was when it's in regards to, like, special withdrawal rules, right, for thrift savings plan for... Okay. So this one says, I don't see anything with this yet, but you know what, Antoinette? This is like a 500-page act that I'm still trying to go through. You know, the best thing for you to do is if you can... if you email Harold individually and he can contact me and I can look this up for you, and I'd be happy to check this out for you.
Okay. Because I thought about it. I said some people took advantage of it and then they had like a cutoff, but still people were kind of adamant about taking out as much because they were trying to, you know, kind of like give it a warm and fuzzy. But because it's still going on and it may be going on for some time, would those people be able to take advantage of it again or for the first time?
Right. It looks like initially it was up in, through December 15th. But, yeah, whether that was extended, I don't have the answer to that.
And Antoinette, if you want, as you said, if you want to reach out to me via email, it's
okay.
My email address is HT, as in Thomas, Fisher, at WHUR.com. There's no C in Fisher. HT Fisher at WHUR.com. And I can always pass that on to Susan or see what we can find out for you. But you
okay.
know, but I would certainly say that when you are, you know, when there are opportunities, you know, for those kinds of massive withdrawals, you always have to kind of err on the on the side of being extremely mm-hmm. careful.
Sure. Yeah, and Antoinette, if you want to as well, and any of the listeners, you know, to reach me directly too, it's Susan.Hogan at NBCUNI.com, and that you're certainly welcome to reach out to me too.
One more time, okay. Susan, with your email address, please.
You bet. Susan.Hogan at NBC, the letters U, N as in Nancy, I, dot com. So it's NBC Uni, and Uni stands for Universal.
Okay, got you. And thank you guys so much, and do enjoy your new year. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much.
Happy New Year.
And stay safe, Antoinette. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And I think that's, you know, that's the thing, Susan, when it comes to these massive bills, and I think the bill was 5,000 pages.
5,000, yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
I got through 500.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, come on, Susan. Anybody can go through 500 pages in the space of 60 seconds. But 5,000 pages, you're gonna need five more minutes for 5,000 pages. But thank you for trying to assist Antoinette. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit more now about some of these consumer issues, because the pandemic has changed everything. It has changed things for business. It has changed things for shoppers. Everything is upside down and turned around. What is the first thing that you think consumers really need to know in the wake of this Christmas shopping season? What should they watch out for?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people, it's no one really knew what was the right thing to do. And that was kind of like me and my family. You know, we ordered online, I would say, for 90% of what we needed. But just like everybody else, a week or two before the holidays, I'm like, you know, and then you go to the malls, you go into the stores, and, you know, you just end up buying just to buy, and you're in there with the crowds. And you know, the thing is, too, with the return policies, I think that this was very, very interesting. You know, a lot of stores, and you think about it, we have normally, what, Black Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cyber Monday. This year, we didn't have a Black Friday. We had Black November, because stores kind of woke up and realized, we can't do this anymore. We cannot publicize one day a year where thousands of people flock to one mall or one store to stand in line elbow to elbow to get a gift that is going to be marked down for like 40%, you know? So it was really interesting to see how all of these massive stores and malls and the outlets really pivoted to say, okay, let's not do this. So therefore, people started to shop a lot earlier. People started to, you know, start shopping in October because the deals were there early. So with that being said, so you buy holiday gifts in October, September, October, early November, typically your return policies are about 30 days. Well, that's not going to help you when you're buying so early. So the stores got really smart about this and said, okay, we need to extend our return policies. We need to be, you know, we're all in this together. We need to be nice and play nice. So we're finding that a lot of these major retailers are extending their return policies 30, 60, 90 days out, in some cases a year out. So you really have to not worry about running in there the day after, you know, Christmas, which a lot of people did. Really, January 2nd is one of the biggest return days. You don't have to do that as right now. You can really kind of take a deep breath, return when you need to, because that whole pressure to return the next day is gone. They're not doing that to you as well. So, you know, a couple things that you need to know before you go out to do this is, you know, no one wants to stand in a long line these days inside of a mall. So you really should know the return deadline. So even though that there are these extensions, you're still on the clock. So you don't want to sit on an item for several months. So look online or call the retailer and ask, how long do I have to return this particular item? And a lot of people also, if you didn't get a receipt, no problem, right? Well, that depends these days. And if you're not comfortable asking the giver for a receipt, you know, that's okay. But you're going to have to expect a store credit or an exchange. And also the other thing, too, with all of these COVID-19 restrictions, Harold, and you said it perfectly, you really cannot open up a gift. You can't, meaning like a package, or take off tags unless you think you're going to keep it. Stores are really changing their policies in regards to that. So if you open up something and the package is kind of tampered with, good luck with trying to return it. Most stores are not going to do that.
I know that, first of all, I will say I've only been to the mall twice during this holiday shopping season. And it was the first time since February.
Wow.
Yeah, I love to shop, but the last time that I went before the shutdown was in February, and then I didn't go again. I didn't even look at the mall until about 2 weeks ago, when there were some things that I knew that I could get, you know, some kind of token gifts, and I went in and.
Yeah.
And then I went again because what I thought was there wasn't there last week. So I went in again shortly after that, and I got it. But other than that, I just wasn't doing it. But one of the things that I will say is that for those people who shop afterwards, even if you want to support the small businesses, before you leave the store, you have to have a conversation with the owner or the clerk in that store to find out about return policies and all of that stuff.
You do. You really have to take the moment. And my kids always laugh at me because when I go shopping and I'm always asking, you know, what is the return policy for this particular thing? Especially if you're buying something on clearance that's on sale. You know, these days, everything is on sale. You walk in, 40% off this entire store. Well, before you make that purchase, ask them. And then I always get a gift receipt when I know that is a gift that's going to be given to my mom or to my children, because that is so helpful. The gift receipt does not tell you how, doesn't tell the recipient how much you paid, so don't worry about that. You don't look cheap if you cheaped out on the gift. But, you know, it just gives them that ability to return something if they don't want to. So, you know, but yes, you are absolutely right. You need to ask, and they have to tell you. Now, most, I think by law in many states on the receipt, it actually has to tell you what the return policy is. So make sure you take a look at that as well. But you just have to, be much responsible in, you know, the return policies and knowing, as the people who you're buying it from, you have to ask them. You have to be responsible and make sure that you do your due diligence.
Now, that has to do with face-to-face returns. But what about returns, because we aren't seeing people now, and so what's happening is, for example, you know, the gift that I bought for you, I can't drop it at your house, so you'll probably get it this week, and
I was so excited.
Right? No, yeah, absolutely, Mom. What is this? But you would get it in that example. It would perhaps come from Amazon. It would be a UPS. And so, you know, what if, you know, I, you know, I, I got you a size 14 and you're a size 6 and you want to return it. Is there anything that consumers need to know about doing it that way, since you may not be able to return it to the store?
You know, right. So Amazon makes it so easy to, and that's why a lot of times I know I'd like to support our small businesses, but you know, at the end of the day, if you're buying for someone who's difficult to buy for or not here, it really sometimes is the easiest thing to do, because it really, you know, you can wrap it up and then drop it in their Amazon lock boxes, you know, the lockers that are inside some of the stores or in the local supermarket. And it is so easy, and you don't have to stand in line, and it's just an easier choice to do. So, you know, I think a lot of times if you are buying something for someone who is, a stickler about not being in public these days, you have to think about where you're buying it from. You want to make sure that the return is going to be easy for them, or even offer that to them, you know, say, hey, listen, if you don't like this and you have to go into the store to return this, let me know. So you just, you know, these days, everything we do, we have to think differently. We truly do. A lot of stores are doing returns for, you know, return shipping for free. They have the labels. I will not buy anything online. And if my daughter is listening to this, I told her to listen to it. They know this. I'm like, she tells me about some obscure website she wants to buy, you know, she wants me to buy her a gift from. I'm like, okay, I've never heard of that retailer. Let's look at the return policy first. Are they in the United States? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, if they have pound signs next to the dollar sign, that's pretty much that they're not here. So, like, let's deal with companies in the United States. Let's deal with companies that give a shipping label along with the packaging. So it's a very easy thing to do. And I have told her numerous times, I'm not buying that for you. I have no idea what that company is and their shipping. You have to pay for the return.
I think that is such a really, really good point, because if you go on to Facebook or to Instagram and you have all of these merchants that are constantly pitching you for their items, and particularly when it comes to clothing, a lot of these merchants are in China. And they specifically come from that industrial area. Don't ask me the name of it. My Chinese is really bad this week. But where if you have a return, and I'm speaking from experience, getting a return and emailing and that kind of thing, there's a language barrier often, and it's just a headache.
And you're lucky if you even get anyone to talk to with a language barrier, because chances are you can't. And you brought up my biggest stickler, and I am so glad you did, Harold, and that is buying from social media feeds. That is where all of my kids, and I have three of them, they're on, you know, whatever it is, Instagram or Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be. So Instagram really is kind of it. So they're scrolling through, and my daughter Katie will say, oh my gosh, look at these cute boots or this cute coat. So we'll look at it. So here's the thing. There's one, maybe two ads that I have bought off of Instagram, but I only did based on a few things, and I did my homework. So if you look at, you're on Instagram and you see a company called XYZ, and my goodness, you've got this cute little model and she has this cute little dress and it's like this outfit is adorable. And you're like, oh my God, I need to have it. Or my daughter's like, oh my God, I need to have it. And you'll see the followers, and it might say 1.3 million followers or 260,000 followers. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. But you know what? Click on those followers and you'll see the drop down. And if you see that the majority of the followers have no followers or no accounts, those are bot followers. That means the likelihood that that merchant is legit is probably nil to none. But if you know, and then also read all of the comments, because I saw this one little, you know, cute little outfit, and I'm like, oh, that's really cute. Then I started to read the comments below, and that's when you read the true blue, like, do not buy from this. shipping stinks, the blah, blah, blah. You need to do that and take the time. Don't look at all the shiny, glittery, cute things, you know, in the pictures. They're always going to be good. You got to read the comments. And don't take those followers at face value. People buy their followers.
There you
Companies
go.
Companies buy followers.
Let's talk about gift cards, particularly the unwanted gift cards. And we've spoken about this before. What is your recommendation? Has anything changed over the past year or so regarding how you may get rid of or dispose of unwanted gift cards?
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny, and I need to practice what I preach. Because, Harold, if I opened up and if I counted out the amount of gift cards that I still have in my purse, that you would laugh at me because there's a lot. And, you know, I have had a $25 gift card to the Cheesecake Factory in my wallet for about 4 years.
Mm.
I love the Cheesecake Factory. I have yet to go and spend this darn gift card. One of these days, I'm like, I will do it. I know it. But let's face it, the typical kind of scenario is if you haven't used it in 12 months, you're probably not going to use it. So why not try to sell it? Now, most will not ever give you back the full value, but you can sell it. There are great websites that actually will buy unwanted gift cards. One is called Raise, and one is called Card Pool, card like C-A-R-D, Pool, P-O-O-L. And but they have different business models. So the one that I have, I've never used, but the people that I've interviewed for stories like Card Pool. So they will buy your physical and your e-gift cards. Okay. And they typically will buy from about 250 major retailers, clothing and department stores, movie theaters, jewelry. And so, you know, what they pay really depends on the popularity of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're holding on to a Target gift card or an H&M gift card, chances are that's going to have more value than some unknown, really kind of gift card, right? So the cards that are in high demand, iTunes, Walmart, Target, they're going to pay you as much as 92% of the value in some cases. Some of the less popular cards, they might discount it by 20 to 30%. And the process is super, super simple and quick. And what you do is you enter the brand, you enter the card code, which is on the back, and the balance of that's on that card. So even if you've used it and there's still a balance, you're still able to do this. So once they can verify that the card is legit, they're going to make you an offer. And then in most cases, you don't even need to send the physical card, and they're going to do, there's a couple of payment options that they'll offer you. Like you can do another Amazon e-gift card, or they can send you a check in the mail. And it's a really cool idea. I mean, there are people who, you know, might just want the cash for it because you can't return your gift card to the store for cash.
Wow.
So it's a good way to, you know, if you know, oftentimes people have heard people would get a gift card from someone for a restaurant that's like in the state of the person that bought the card, but not in the state of the person who's getting the card. So,
wow, that's interesting. And I use my gift cards when I get them. I don't let them, you know, kind of hang around. But
yeah.
And for the people who decide to send a gift card, they usually are not, you know, the generic Visa or American Express. It may be a very, very specific store. Will those companies buy the generic debit gift cards like American Express, Visa, or MasterCard as well?
They will. So it depends. And so do your homework and look at them. Some also will allow you to set the price, and then it's kind of like a bidding process where people watch. It's kind of like an eBay kind of thing. I don't like those.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to set the price. I just want my money
right
now. So those are always difficult to kind of to judge. And those do take the Visa gift cards, the more generic ones as well. And the one thing I don't like about those is that you normally have to pay a fee to purchase those. And I think that stinks.
Well, yeah, that kind of defeats the point.
Totally, right? I don't like that either. But as I said, the card pool is one of the ones that are, you know, most widely used, and people really end up having a good experience with that particular one.
You also wanted to talk about, very briefly, about gift card warnings and scams. What can you tell us?
Oh, my gosh. So this is crazy. And the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is coming out with a warning because this was interesting to me. The latest data shows that actually nationwide gift cards are the top way that people report paying most scammers. Mm. So since 2018, most people have paid scammers using a gift card, $245 million, Harold. $245 million. And so what happens is these scammers will call you and they will tell you, you know, they'll use whatever the scam of the day is. Like, you know, you owe us this money, you know, your son or daughter, your grandchild is in, you know, dire danger and you need to go and buy us these gift cards. We scratch off the back of the gift cards, read us the number, send us, and then off they go with the cash of whatever the value is. They'll tell you how much to buy these in the gift cards. They'll give you the denomination. And you know, it's not so much how they do the scam. It's the fact that these people are listening to these folks on the phone, and they're walking into these stores and buying hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of gift cards at one time, and no one's stopping them.
Yeah.
And these scammers know. And unfortunately, you know, elderly folks are the ones who really kind of get roped into this. But you know what? It runs the gamut. It truly does. Anyone who's telling you to buy a gift card, scratch off the bottom and read them the card number, it's a scammer.
Right. That's not how you pay anything. Yeah, that's always a great reminder. Real quick, four things to buy in January, four things not to buy in January, and why not?
Okay, I love doing this kinds of stuff because, you know, I kind of like it. So the four best things to buy in January, fitness equipment, we know why, New Year's resolutions, it's about getting fit, and retailers know this. So they really kind of put out that equipment out on sale. They want to kind of refresh it too for the spring, so they're trying to get rid of all of it. Bedding deals are huge. You know why? A lot of white sales going on right now. So look for bedding at this point. Winter clothing and styles, kind of a duh, of course, because retailers come January, they want to get rid of all of their winter gear because they start putting spring and like cruise wear and summer wear out in like February, March. So go and buy your winter coat, your scarves, your mittens, any of that stuff. If you've been wanting and hankering this gorgeous sweater that you've been wanting, go and get it now. And holiday decor, obviously, this is the time to do it. We bought our fake Christmas tree 2 years ago in January, and it was half the price of a real, you know, of a fake lit Christmas tree.
Makes sense.
A couple things not to buy in January. Now, this changes a little bit simply because it's gym memberships. Now, typically, this goes back to your question about how COVID has changed everything, Harold. Typically, gym memberships were the best things to buy in January, right? Gyms are like exploding with these deals, and come on, you know, New Year's resolutions right now. So many gyms are still dealing with closings and occupant limits. So really hold off until June when the gyms could have some of their operations closer to normal. Video game consoles, the latest Xbox and PlayStation consoles, they're too new right now to expect any discounts. So wait until the end of the year when you're going to see bundles at notable price lows. Smartphones, another thing. The biggest models are typically released in the fall, so hold off on buying any new iPhone, Pixel, or Samsung smartphone until the fall. Laptops, another one. Don't expect January to carry any big sales on laptops. If you really need a new one, you're better off waiting for the discounts that come with back-to-school sales in the late summer or Black Friday events or Black November events. Who knows where we're going to be come next year?
Yeah, I was about to say. I was thinking about that travel outfit that you could wear for the living room because it just doesn't seem right now. We still have to be careful. And, I've always wanted to ask you this also. What about big screen TVs? I've had my flat screen for 10 years. It still looks good to me. How many TVs do you really need? My gracious. But when should...
when... Yes, my husband. One for every room, Harold.
Yeah, I know. But it just makes me wonder, are people just collecting TVs just because? But when is a good time to buy a flat screen TV, the 4K or the 8K or the 54?
So you know when they normally go on big sales? What's the biggest event year round. That happens in January.
My Greek wedding. I don't know.
The Super Bowl.
Yes, of course.
Right around the Super Bowl is a great time to buy a big screen TV. That is when a lot of these retailers are like, you know, the bigger the better, and you know, you want surround sound. So that is the time that you're going to see a lot of big screen TVs for sale. Come the time, about a week or so before the Super Bowl.
Would it be cheaper after the Super Bowl, though? I mean, let's say you don't really need one. Do you think the price would drop after the Super Bowl?
I think what happens a lot of times, again, with these things, and it's funny because I know, you know, we do these stories, you know, the top things to buy this month, the blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, everything is on sale.
Yeah.
Everything is negotiable. And even if you go in and you want that television and it's not really the price you want, you can negotiate and really bargain with these retailers. They are so desperate for your business. So do your homework. If you really want that TV and it's not on sale in January, or it's not, you're waiting until February, but you really want it today, figure it out. There's always a way to get a whatever it may be at a better price. There are, you know, so many websites that do the algorithm for you and do that research to try to find what is being sold where at the lowest price, and take that, you know, print it off, bring it into that retailer and say, listen, on Amazon or in Best Buy, it's this price. You know, yours is this price. I want that price. And they'll do it for you. Most often they will do it for you.
And if not, just walk away. There you go.
Absolutely, walk away because someone else will buy it.
NBC4 consumer reporter Susan Hogan, it is so good to talk to you again. Stay safe, Susan, and keep doing the great job that you do. Love your work.
Harold, thank you so much. Hopefully next year we'll be in person together again.
Looking forward to it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Monday, December 28th, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.